following copyrighted program is presented by PodcastNorm.com.
Hi, everybody. My name is Russ, and I'd like to welcome you to the show we call Just a Fan's View, the show that talks about NASCAR from just a NASCAR fan's point of view. We won't be doing any interviews with drivers, and we won't be talking to any crew chiefs. In fact, when we do interview anyone, it will be just another NASCAR fan. That's why we call it Just a Fan's View. So hold on to your cup holder. We're not afraid to express our opinion. In fact, it is what we do best. Today's show is
After Martinsville from a NASCAR Fan's View. After Martinsville, many of the NASCAR Sprint Cup teams welcomed the week off and hope to regroup or get a fresh start when things pick back up in Texas this weekend. The short track in Virginia claimed a few victims, and some that were expected to do well didn't. Even though he started out strong, Kevin Harvick struggled for most of the day, and his teammates didn't fare much better. To say the RCR teams underperformed may be a little dramatic, and the week off was hopefully beneficial to them. Martinsville turned out to be a rough day for most of the Hendrick teams, too, and they didn't come away with number 200 for their boss, Rick Hendrick. Jeff Gordon dominated the day, but he didn't end up in victory lane. Jimmy Johnson came from the middle of the pack and worked his way near the front, was clocked speeding on pit lane and put at the end of the longest line. He then proceeded to move back to the front and was leading on lap 496, but he didn't go to victory lane either. As for the pole sitter, Casey Kane, well, it was just another typical day for him in the year 2012, and he didn't even finish the race. Now, Dale Jr., well, he had a pretty decent finish and is now second in the points. To say Martinsville had a surprise ending would be more than a little bit of an understatement. From this fan's view, and looking at the race with six laps to go, it looked as if there was going to be a real shootout between Jeff Gordon and Jimmy Johnson, and no matter how it turned out between the two, Hendrick Motorsports was going to come away with its 200th victory in Cup. All of that went out the window with the throwing of the yellow flag with about three laps to go. The caution was exactly what Jeff Gordon and Jimmy Johnson did not need or want to see. I know it has been analyzed and talked about and analyzed again, but I just have to put in my two cents from this fan's view. It is very obvious that the yellow flag could have been avoided and probably was a bad decision by David Ruderman and his team to try and continue, but it is just one of the beasts that has reared its ugly head because of the top 35 rule. Ruderman admitted the only reason he was still on the track was because he was trying to stay in the top 35 in points. We all know it affected the outcome of the race, and we all know how badly Ruderman felt about having changed the outcome of the race. What doesn't seem to be very clear, at least to this fan, is how that situation can be completely avoided in the future. Had it not been for the top 35 qualifying rule, he wouldn't have had to make the decision at all. As it is a decision that affects how all of the teams struggling to stay in the top 35 think about how to get as many points as they can. As anyone will tell you, especially in NASCAR Cup, it is a whole lot easier to get and keep sponsors interested in you if you are guaranteed to be in the race. That is what the top 35 rule does, and this is not the first time it has been brought up in the last several years. As this fan remembers, the last time it was really questioned was when teams were making the races even though there were cars that had faster qualifying times but weren't in the top 35, so the slower cars made the race. Now, I'm not saying there is anything wrong with the rule, but I am saying it does affect the racing week in and week out, and as it stands, everyone knows about and has to deal with the top 35 rule, whether good or bad. From what I can tell, the time it becomes most important to anyone is when it affects them in a negative way. In other words, as long as it doesn't affect anyone other than those outside the top 35, it isn't even on the radar of the others. When it does affect the others, well, you know. Hey, this is Russ, and I'll see you next time, right here at NASCAR Fans View, for just a fan's view of NASCAR racing. That's the show for today, and we're really glad you took the time to be with us. It is our hope you enjoyed this time, and that you will tell a friend where to find us. Just a Fan's View is a production of, and all views expressed are strictly the opinion of, PCN Productions. Thanks for being here, and until next time, have a great week. Hi, everyone. My name is Rusty Norman, probably better known to you as Podcast Norm. I'm the voice behind Podcast Norm Audio Productions, and I'd like to take a moment to tell you about the music I use in my podcasts and other productions. It's from Mike Stewart, and it's called Two Buck Themes. We all know music makes every production better, and not only is Two Buck Themes royalty-free, but it is very affordable. How much is it, did you say? Just $2 a theme, 5 themes at a time. And I use it exclusively on these podcasts. If you make audio and video productions and want to make them better, then give Two Buck Themes a try. I know you won't be disappointed. Once you hear and use them for yourself, I'm sure you'll feel the same way I do about them. So click on the link below and get Two Buck Themes for yourself. Hey, this is Russ, and I'll see you next time.